Welcome to the seventh episode of the Frank Online Marketing Show. My name is Tema Frank, and I'm your host. Today, we get to hear from yet another type of company. We've been very fortunate. Every episode has featured a company that's completely different from the others. This one is with Alina Martin, the CEO of a Calgary-based company called Danatech Educational Services. They provide online safety training. They train some 250,000 people a year. The last 3 years, their business has tripled. And in fact, they've grown 24% this year alone, which may explain why they had trouble finding someone to answer the phone the day I tried to call them. Sorry, Alina, but hopefully they've got that sorted out by now. She does say in the interview that they were actively recruiting more staff. The CEO, Alina Martin, took over the business from her father at a really critical time for the industry. Digitization was opening opportunities for new ways of approaching training. She acknowledges that left to his own devices, her father probably wouldn't have taken the firm in the direction that she has. She really recognized the potential of digitization to transform the industry. And even her father admits that it's been very successful, so no complaints now, although I gather they had their moments in the process. As with Build Direct, who I interviewed in the first episode, you might want to go back and listen if you haven't heard that one, they disrupted a very traditional industry. Traditional classroom trainers were very upset by what they were doing because, of course, it did threaten their livelihood. But what's interesting is when they first tried to offer online courses, even her own salesman refused to try and sell it. They said, well, that's just not training. We'll hear all about it and about how she dealt with it in a moment, but before we go there, I would like to give a great shout out to IBM Canada and thank them for their support of the Frank Online Marketing Show. So here's my interview with Alina Martin. I'll talk to you after the interview.
My company is Danatech Educational Services Limited.
Tell me about Danatech. What does it do?
Well, we were incorporated in 1985, and originally we were the first company to market to produce a transportation of dangerous goods self-teach training manual. And basically what that is that it's a booklet that a student would use, so companies would purchase them for their employees. They would go through the booklet. They would do all the practical workplace exercises. They would write the final exam that was in the back of the cover, and then the employer would therefore mark the exam. If they got a passing grade, they would then certify their employee, and their employee could go begin work.
Okay.
That's the very first product we built.
Okay. And then what happened?
And then we started to take that model. So basically what happened in 1985 is the reason that we came into business was because there was a big, huge train derailment in Mississauga and a whole bunch of dangerous goods spilled out.
I remember that.
Yeah, and evacuated a couple hundred thousand people. And before 1985, there was no regulation. So the government then decided that they better implement some type of training standards. So they wrote the Transportation of Dangerous Goods Act, and then from there, we built the first self-teach. And then from there, we went and we developed a similar product in WMIS, which stands
and
for...
And explain what WMIS is.
WMIS is Workplace Hazardous Materials Information System. And basically, it's a classification system for handling chemicals in the workplace. You could see a label. You also see them on consumer goods. So if you're looking at your, you know, your Mr. Clean bottle, you'll see a little, probably a little poisonous symbol. That sort of applies to the workplace as well, but we're dealing, typically in the workplace, we're dealing with much larger quantities of chemicals. Mm-hmm. And so industry and employers and employees needed to learn how to use things safely and what to do if something goes wrong. And so we built, again, we took that concept and we built a WMIS self-teach training manual.
So normally the WMIS, how is that handled in companies then if they don't use your approach?
Well, there's a couple of approaches. So they could put everybody in the classroom. So they could bring in an external trainer and put everybody in classroom and train them that way, which is typically how it was done. And it was certainly different when we produced the first self-teach. Industry was very against it initially in the beginning because they just didn't believe that you could learn from a workbook. And I know it sounds crazy now because we've just come so far, but back then, you know, people really, instructors were really in uproar, and they said, you know, this isn't training material. And so as part of that, we ended up building a whole bunch of instructor-led material. And so we built things, you know, VHS cassettes. We built videos. We built instructors' manuals. We did that sort of thing as well so that we could fulfill that piece of the market. Okay. And so either you were going to train in class in person or you were going to train with one of our self-teach training manuals.
Right.
And 27 years later, those two products are still our number one sellers.
Roughly what proportion of women's training in Canada happens via you versus in some other way?
That would be very difficult to qualify, only because WMIS falls underneath so many industries. It falls almost in any industry. It'll fall in oil and gas, it'll fall into agriculture, it'll fall into manufacturing, and then it falls into things like retail and restaurant and all those sorts of industries, right? Because you've got everybody from the janitor level at a school that's using bleach to clean the floor all the way up to the kids working the fryers at McDonald's. They'll have to have some exposure to it as well. So it's an enormous, enormous market. Yeah, it would be difficult for me to say what percentage we have. Very, very difficult.
So now you offer those training courses online?
We do, yeah. So in 99, so basically what happened was is Danatech came into my family in 1990, and my father purchased 50% of Danatech in 1990 and purchased the remainder 50% in 95. Okay. And from there, Danatech was just a little struggling company, and it had produced a couple of, like I said, the self-teaches and some instructor material. So what we did is we really broadened that product line, and we got into things like posters, regulations, a ton of things, what we call support material.
Okay.
So things like handbooks and reference material within sort of the Dangerous Goods and WMIS product line, and then we built some stuff outside of that line where we built some stuff for the confined space industry and a variety of things. And in 99, we decided to, we'd had our first website. We built our first website in 96, 97.
Okay.
And in 99, we decided to take our first stab at building, taking the Dangerous Goods and WMIS self-teach. We built them both at the same time and built them in an e-learning environment.
And what was involved in doing that transfer from books or video to?
We didn't do any video. We basically took the print material. So back then it was written on a Mac. And we took that and basically transferred that into kind of like a PowerPoint presentation version. Mm-hmm. Basically we digitized it. And we put it on a learning management system. We built one internally with a couple of IT people and took that and put that on the Internet. And it didn't really sell the first couple of years. It didn't really go anywhere. It was funny. When we built that, we ran into the same thing that we ran into in the late 80s.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
exactly.
About whether it was legit.
Right, the exact same thing. And it was funny because even our salesman wouldn't sell it. They refused to sell it. Absolutely blatantly refused. I remember having conversations with them, and they refused to sell it. And they said, there's no way that this is training. And so we are, I know, it's crazy to think now. And it certainly took industry a long time to catch on, there's no question. We were patient, but we've also gotten very sophisticated at it. So we are probably on our, seventh or eighth course by now. We just keep building more sophisticated technology every couple of years. But we've been very successful at that. So what we did was when we originally came out with the TDG and WMIS Online, I don't think we really knew what we were doing. We just thought, okay, well, we're going to build some online training and let's see what happens. And nothing really happened.
What changed that then?
A couple of things, I think. We got a little more sophisticated on the back-end technology after the first couple of years of running on our own learning management system. It wasn't user-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't easy to use. And we had built a program called Mac TDG, which is for the oil and gas industry.
Yeah.
And so right at that time, we had decided to move learning management system providers and get something that was just a little bit more sophisticated and didn't require as much almost data entry. Because that's really what we were doing. You know, we had an administrator here that was actually going in and entering all this information, and it wasn't automated. Yeah. Nowadays, we train 250,000 people a year, so I can't even imagine. Yeah, I can't even imagine that amount of work. So we moved over learning management systems, and we got the ability to really truly build an LMS. Mm-hmm. And we built that with a company called Blatant Media. They were just a brand new little company getting started, and so we helped them build their LMS. And as a result of that, we got to build in the technology that worked for us. And then it just slowly started to catch on. Industry started to just slowly evolve, and I think it happened for a variety of reasons. One, the safety perception changed, and that changed at least 10 years ago now. It started to become much more relevant in workplaces. So what were we doing for safety? Talking about safety. More people were going out there and becoming educated in safety. And large companies started to create safety departments and a variety of things. And so gradually it sort of expanded. And then once the big guys started to accept it, we had a lot of medium-sized companies that said, yeah, we'll try this TDG online training. And so they started to try it, and it was working really well because of the younger workforce coming in,
mm-hmm.
right? Really tech savvy. They said, no, stick me in front of a computer. And that's really how it began. And over the years, and over the last 3 years in particular, our e-learning business has tripled. It's just been exploding the last two, I would say.
And why is that, do you think?
Just the acceptance. A lot more companies are just much more accepting the technology-based product. Secondly, we have an exceptional product. We are not building, and that's part of the problem with the industry right now is that everybody's building, a little Wemyss course or a little Dangerous Goods course online and putting it online and calling it good. We build exceptional product, and that's our mandate as a company. We build the best. And so we spend hundreds of thousands of dollars building our training and making it better, and making sure that we build in not only the technical aspect of training, but we work with people who are educators. So we make sure that when we're building a program, that students are going to understand it.
So how do you convince your prospective clients that yours really is better than the other options out there?
Typically, there isn't a lot of convincing. When you take our product and you look at our product and you compare it against, any of our competitors, it's just better all the way around. It's easier to use. It's better looking. It's got much more. We build e-learning very differently. So the one thing that we do is our e-learning is not just video-based. You don't just watch it. Our e-learning is completely interactive, so you can't just sit there and walk away from the computer. It's going to ask you to interact at some point. And so that's something that is very different about what we do.
Are there government regulations affecting what must be taught?
Correct. Okay. Yeah, so the government basically puts out the standard that says you need to know X, Y, and Z, and then we build to that standard and above. So the other thing that we do in our product line is all of our products work together. So we don't just have a standalone e-learning product. Everything that we build has multiple components to it if you want to use it. And that's the one thing that's very different about what we do as a company is we offer what we call blended learning. So if you have a group of individuals and you want to put 10 of them online and you want 10 of them to go in a classroom and you want 5 of them to use a self-teach training manual, we can put that together for you.
Hmm.
So we
and
offer
why would
that
a company,
blended approach.
Why would a company choose that approach?
A company would choose that because of the learning styles of the employees.
Okay. Yep.
Also, too, you get a and you'll get a company that's really large, right? So you'll get an organization that has, let's say, 10 locations, and 3 of them are up in the Northwest Territories in the middle of nowhere with no internet access.
Right.
But they want them all to have the same level of learning and the consistency, because that's part of the problem in the safety business in general, is that the lack of consistency in the industry because instructors have bad days.
So how do you verify that the person taking the exam is the person who's supposed to be taking the exam?
Well, that's a million-dollar question. we answer that question a lot. It's really up to the company's due diligence. The company needs to make sure that employee is the employee taking the exam, and they can do that a variety of ways. They can do the examination in a test center. They can do it, with a supervisor. See, all the training that we do is not considered adequate training unless a supervisor signs off on it.
Okay.
That's what's written into the regulations. So, for example, if you're training somebody on how to handle dangerous goods, you can't just take an online course and just stick the guy into work. It's not considered adequate training.
Your client base now, is it all over North America? Is it just in Canada?
We're coast to coast. We are expanding to the U.S. We have our first U.S. product line launching this spring.
How many staff do you have right now?
12.
And that's all? And you've got
that's
how many
it.
People in, buying or doing your courses? Do you say 250,000?
Yeah, about 250,000 a year. I know, it surprises people, and I guess it's because, you know, we run very efficiently. Now, granted, we are short staffed right now. I've got three people that I'm hoping to bring on here by February. We need a VP of sales desperately. So I'm trying to work on that right now, but we're just so busy. I haven't had a chance, and I need an executive assistant so badly. It's ridiculous. We've had an exceptional year.
How do you market your services?
Through a variety of channels. We spend a lot of time in the online world. So we are experts now at Google AdWords. I have a full-time person on staff here, a marketing guy. We're bringing on another marketing person, actually, and we sent him through Google AdWords school. He's become very sophisticated at our Google AdWords campaigns. We deal with them daily around here. We also do a lot of what we call A-B testing, which is testing product pages on the Internet against each other and seeing which ones convert. We're very, very, very cognizant of our ROI online. We spend a lot of attention and a lot of time doing that. You know, our conversion rates right now are hovering around 7%, which is excellent.
That's very good.
It is. It's very, very good. It took us a long time to get from about 4 to 7. It took us almost a solid 2 years to get from 4 to 7, and we've been able to do that. So we do a lot of work on the Internet. We've got our danatech.com site, which we pay attention to daily as well. So everything from making sure our links are active and working and engaging to doing press releases and making sure that they're picked up not only digitally, but they're picked up in and around all the papers. We do a lot of work with industry associations and making sure that we're part of that and that we're contributing to the safety industry on a variety of different levels.
Mm-hmm.
We do that. We also do a lot of your traditional stuff. So, you know, we buy print advertising, you know, to make sure that our brand is always being represented the way that we want it to. We're very, very, very picky about our brand. We work very hard for it. We're very well known for it. You know, and then we do lots of things like email marketing. We don't do a ton of that. We don't believe in clogging up people's inboxes. So, you know... You know, we're lucky if we do two a year, frankly. We do some direct marketing, direct mail, you name it. We've probably tried it.
And from your experience, I guess a two-part question. One is, what do you find to be more effective, the offline or the online? And secondly, are you seeing a change in that over time?
The first part of my answer to that question is the one thing that I like about online advertising, banners, AdWord campaigns, A-B testing, any of that stuff that we do in the digital world, is that it's all measurable.
Yeah.
And that has been really important to what we do because we're able to see not only can we figure out what is truly converting, but a great example would be we spent a whole bunch of money with a great publication, great reach, and we had no clicks on their website. You know, we bought some banner advertising, had no clicks. And we can follow them all the way through to the very end. So we know whether or not that has resulted in a transaction. It didn't. And had we put that ad in their publication, for example, I would have never been able to measure that. But we look at print advertising and stuff that's non-digital as an opportunity to do awareness advertising. So it's to put our brand out there. We're not necessarily asking for a conversion like we are online. And we flip-flop back and forth. This year in particular, we spent, you know, a lot more money in the digital world, but we do our year-end in June, and I've put forward to my staff that in the marketing strategy this year, we're going to spend a little less online and do a little more traditional this year for our traditional product line.
Why is
so
that?
We flip-flop. Two reasons. One, our traditional product line and our e-learning product line are running head-to-head. So one isn't eating up market share over the other, which has been excellent. We have paid very close attention over the last 3 years, wondering if our online business was eating away at our paper business, and it's not. So that's been interesting.
Yeah. Why do you think that is? Why do you think they're not cannibalizing?
We're growing organically. That's the only way I can justify what's happening. We're growing organically, and that's without putting a lot of effort forward. And it's interesting to see that it's not cannibalizing on itself. The e-learning, it's a different customer, which we have different levels of customers. So we have what we call our one-click customers, and those are people who will be going to work in the oil and gas industry, let's just say that. They're living out in Halifax right now. They go to the Internet. They buy a Wemyss online train because they need that in order to get employment. In a way they go, we never hear from them.
And so it's the ultimate student there who's actually
right,
not the employer.
Right. Whereas
okay.
We didn't have that customer before.
Okay.
It didn't really exist. And so that's a whole new avenue that we've actually learned about in the last couple of years, and we've been very successful at capturing them.
Did you discover that customer then as a result of starting to do stuff online and seeing who
yes.
was responding?
Yes,
ah,
we did.
You
yeah.
discovered a whole new market there.
We did. We discovered a whole new market. We went, hey, this didn't exist before. This is interesting. The great part about what we do as well is that all training is employer specific. So if you take a course from us and you change employers, you have to take it again. And so a lot of the time, they'll come back and take our course again.
How often would an employee go to an employer saying, I've taken your company-specific training, versus them being employed and the employer saying, okay, now take it?
Depends if there's a boom or a bust.
Okay. So if there's a bust, the employee will undertake it because they figure that's the
right.
only way they can get a job.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The Internet's a huge, huge, huge piece of what we do. It's only becoming bigger. And not just the Internet, but I'm going to say technology.
Okay.
What we're doing is we're harnessing a lot of that technology. So, for example, we took two of our publications last year, these two little handbooks, and we built them into an app for iPhones and iPads.
Okay.
We're starting to notice that safety departments were giving all of their safety guys iPads.
Uh-huh.
So we thought, okay, well, let's build a product that works. So instead of carrying around a book, they have a digital version of it.
Right.
And that's been very successful. And we're just going to continue to do much more of that. The other thing we're going to continue to do is we always lead, we never follow. So we're always going to embrace technology. We're building some really neat stuff for the U.S. right now in an app format as well. And always, always, always leading, never following, and looking for opportunities within dinosaur industries and transforming those industries. And really using the Internet to our advantage. Giving ease of use is huge on what we do. We're constantly
yes.
measuring ease of use. Is it easy
right.
to use? Can you find it on our Internet site? How do you
want
to pay? You want to pay 25 different ways? Great. All of these ways work. And our shopping cart process is something that never ends. Doing
oh,
things
so
like
you're
measuring.
Constantly tweaking it.
Constantly tweaking. Measuring our shopping cart abandonment rate.
Mm-hmm.
How do we make that better? When we get somebody in a funnel, how do we convert them?
So what percentage of your online sales would be individuals versus businesses? So businesses will find you, some of them, will find you online and actually complete the purchase online without
correct.
Calling you?
Yes, lots. That's happening more every day. That's actually happening so much right now. We are just in the process of figuring out our strategy on how to reach out to those people. We're probably getting 4 or 5 a day, maybe more. Yeah, it's becoming a huge, huge piece of what we're doing, whereas a year ago it was not.
It's very exciting to realize that there are still these dinosaur industries that are ripe for the picking.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us sort of look at it and think, oh, well, it's all been done now. And what you're saying is far from it.
Yeah, you know what? That's really true. It's funny. My husband and I, my husband's an entrepreneur as well, and he's always looking for the next biggest and best thing. And you're right. It's difficult to find things where the industry hasn't been transformed. And I think part of the unique part about our business is that we are already in it, so we understand it, right?
Yeah.
We see it every day. And, I get the opportunity to look at great products once a week and go, oh, that's really interesting. And how do we make that better? Or how do we build something that doesn't exist?
How fractured is your industry? Are there a lot of people offering online or?
It is. Yes.
It is. Okay.
It is now. I think an evolution is going to happen. That's just my personal opinion. What's happened is that we were first to market in the online world, and we were all by ourselves in this silo for many, many years. We were trucking along online. Everything was great. The last 3 years has been very interesting. There's been a huge influx of e-learning providers, a ton of them. They have just popped up. There are probably, I could probably list off right now, a dozen online Wemyss providers. I think you're going to see in the next 3 years, I think you're going to see a lot of them fall off. They may understand how to sell things on the internet, but they don't understand the compliancy and regulatory portion of it. And I think that is absolutely vital to what we do. And they don't have the expertise, I don't think, to deal with it. And there's a couple of great providers out there that I'm sure will be out there for a long time to come. I've fallen in love with what we do, too, in terms of e-marketing. It's mm-hmm. just become such a huge piece of our business. You know, we were a very traditional business. We ended up completely transforming. And so that's been a very interesting thing to watch as well.
Was it difficult from the viewpoint of managing employees? I mean, you must
yes.
have had...
My father ran the business till about 5 years ago when I took over. And the transition couldn't have come at a better time. And honestly, that's just luck that happened to us. It's just sheer luck. It came at a time where the business itself was transforming. Had my father still been running the business, and he'll say, you know, he'll say this too, he wouldn't have looked at the internet the same way that I do. You know, that couldn't have been more evident in a couple of the decisions made. And then we kind of went, oh, okay, well, maybe we should change those. I think that's one of the reasons that we've been successful, is we've been able to successfully transform in a dinosaur industry into this new age of safety. And secondly, we've been able to transform our team at the exact same time. And that's been very, very, very vital to our success.
Pose any conflicts between you and your dad as things were changing?
Oh, sure. No question. I won't lie. I've always told my friends, I'm going to write a book. I'm going to call it Family Business, How to Survive. Over 60% of family businesses do not successfully make it to the second generation. That in itself has been difficult. And family business is very difficult. People always say, well, what's it like working for your dad? And, I work for my dad, even though he's completely out and I'm the majority shareholder now. But I feel responsible to him still. And I always say, well, imagine this. Your boss can yell at you at work, and then he can call you at home and yell at you. Exactly. What is it like?
Oh, great.
You know, yeah, you guys get to all go home, but I don't.
Exactly.
But,
on the other hand, success is the best revenge, I guess, and you're able to show some of that. So.
Yes, success is the best revenge. And, you know, we had our biggest growth year ever. We grew just about 24% this year. And,
wow.
That's our biggest growth leap. That's why my phone system isn't working.
Yeah.
And so we're trying to fix those little things and make them better. But family business is a wonderful thing. Wonderful thing. Very hard. Very hard, but it's very wonderful.
So what are the key lessons we can take from today's interview? I think one of the first ones is the importance of ease of use. Now, of course, this is my personal bias coming from a usability background, but I think it's very interesting that when they first tried to launch their digital training programs, they really heard crickets. They just weren't going anywhere. And finally, they realized that part of the problem was that it needed to be much more user-friendly. And ever since then, they've really focused on the user-friendliness of their products, and that's given them incredible competitive advantage. Second point is the benefits you can get from collaborating for new solutions. When they realized that the existing approach to learning management systems really wasn't brilliant, they started working with a new company and developing an LMS, that's the learning management system, together with them. And by working with that new startup company, it really benefited both of them. For Alina's company, they obviously were able to have tremendous input into how the product that they wanted was developed. And of course, for the company that was developing it, they got some money and they got their initial client. It actually reminds me of when I was starting Web Mystery Shoppers. And my initial concept had been that I and two or three friends would go to a client's website and we'd give them feedback on what worked and what didn't. But I took an executive from the Royal Bank out for lunch to get his opinions on whether he thought this was even a good idea. And to my utter amazement, he said, "Yeah, I think it's a great idea. When can we start? Oh, and by the way, I want 200 people testing our site. And of course, I can't violate client confidentiality, so I can't even tell you who they are. You've got to find them." Well, of course, it totally changed the nature of what my business became, but it was tremendously valuable and helped me develop a much more interesting and useful product. Third point was the value of differentiation. And we're hearing this, I think, from pretty well everybody. You've got to be distinctive from the other people out there in some way. In her case, everybody thinks their product is the best, but she certainly makes a compelling point that because they had been in the training business for so long, they really knew the industry inside out. They knew the products, they knew the requirements in a way that many of the more recent providers simply don't. Another aspect of that differentiation is that they have constantly been innovating and alert to new opportunities. For instance, when they noticed that a lot of safety managers were giving their staff iPads, they thought, oh, here's a thought. We could develop iPad applications for them. So instead of people having to carry around big, heavy training manuals, they can have the manual on their iPad, and maybe even in some sort of a useful interactive way to use it. So staying alert again to what the market is hinting at can give you great opportunities. A fourth point is that going online really opened up new markets for them, markets they didn't even know existed. For instance, instead of just selling to corporations, which is what they had always done, they discovered there was a big market out there of individuals, of potential employees who were happy to pay the $35 or whatever it cost to do a quick training course so that they could then add that as a credential when they were applying for a job. Whole new market they wouldn't even have known existed. It also, of course, lowered their selling effort in some ways. They are discovering that increasingly, instead of having to actually go out and pitch a company and make a sale in a hands-on kind of way, they're getting more and more companies just ordering the product online. Another point that she stressed quite a bit was the importance of analysis and testing, particularly when you're doing things online. One of the great joys of online is that you can actually track very quickly and easily what's working and what isn't and adjust. So they very cleverly sent the person who was going to be doing their Google AdWords to do the official Google training so they knew what they were doing, and they monitor those accounts daily. That's something we've heard from a lot of the other people I've already interviewed as well. They also do A/B split testing, which lets them know immediately what designs convert better. And as a result of that constant process of testing and innovation, they now have industry-leading conversion rates of about 7%, which is truly excellent. In a lot of businesses, even 2% is considered not bad. So those are the key lessons from today's interview. I am finding lately that more and more people are asking me to develop some more in-depth types of training on some of the subjects that come up in these interviews. So I have a question for you. Of the 6 points that I've mentioned here, which of them would you be most interested in learning about? It would be really great if you would hop on over to the website or give me a phone call and let me know what would be of most value to you. There is so much to do and so little time, I'm sure that's a feeling a lot of you can relate to, that I really want to make sure that if I am developing extra materials that I'm concentrating on what my listeners feel will be of most benefit to them. You can add your comments on the webpage, which is frankonlinemarketing.com/show. Or, as always, feel free to email me, Tema, that's T-E-M as in mother, A, at frankonlinemarketing.com, or you can call and leave a message toll-free at 1-866-544-9262. Please provide your questions, comments, and if you have suggestions for any companies or people you'd like me to interview, I'm always open to your ideas. That's it for today. Thanks again to IBM Canada for sponsoring this show, and I look forward to chatting with you next week. Bye.